And today's message is called, I Am a Money Master.
Oh.
I am a money master. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And this is so important, you know, to become a money master. Everybody in the kingdom of God has to learn how to master money. If we don't master money, you know, what happens is a lot of times what we're doing is we're living paycheck to paycheck, and we're waiting to get to that time when we can retire and live on our savings or whatever the government's going to give us. And that's what we're looking for. And we're looking for that so that we can get into a state of rest, so that we can now no longer toil, no longer chase after whatever it is, but we can enter into this place of rest. And this is the thing, is we need to have provisions, okay? Redemption is not complete without divine provision. That's what we receive from Jesus. We receive redemption, but it's not complete without divine provision, okay? Having provision is tied to rest. That means we can be in a state of relaxation, a state of peace. A lack of provision, no matter who you are, no matter where you live, it inhibits rest and can bring tremendous pressures that can cause you to do everything from bad decisions to bad health. It can drive people to excessive borrowing, lying, stealing, gambling, drugs, alcohol, abandoning kids, a divorce, immoral behavior, and even suicide. This is if you don't have the provision. For the world, there is no higher power than money. Okay? So we need to have divine provision. Divine provision to come in. For us to have provision, it puts us in a place where we can relax, and now we can follow the guidance that God has given us in a peaceful state. We're not having to run after things to try to get our needs met. We're not having to run over here and run over there, but we're able to follow the leading of the Spirit, the guidance of God, and all of us in our soul desire that. And why do we desire that? We desire that because that's part of redemption. Provision is part of redemption, meaning God has already provided it, but we have to become a money master. We have to be able to master that money, or that money is going to master you. Okay? So this is something very important, tied to everything that when God came and walked on the earth as Jesus, you know, as Jesus, when he walked on the earth, that was all a part of providing provision as well. Providing blessing in your life. Providing provision. Providing health. Providing wisdom. Providing freedom from all the things, the iniquities, the falsities, the sins, all the things that kept you from standing in the presence of God. You've been redeemed from. But provision was part of that. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. Now, Jesus teaches us, and this is in Matthew 6:24. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is the pagan god of money. So Jesus is saying, you can't serve God and money. Okay? And when we get into this mindset where we're trying to chase after money or feel like we have to run around and do all these things to get money, then we start to forget about God. You know, we get into this whole rule. So we want to be able to master that. Put another way, the master you serve will be the one who meets your needs. So whoever's meeting your needs, that's your master. If you think money is meeting your needs, that's who you're following. Okay? Now, we see a clear picture of this when Jesus is talking to the young ruler. You might remember this story. A young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, what do I need to do to get into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says, well, follow the commandments. And they run down the list of all the commandments. And the young ruler says, well, I've kept all those since my youth. I've kept all of those. And Jesus says, well, there's one other thing. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, some people misunderstand this and think Jesus is telling us we cannot have any possessions. We should give everything away that we have. But notice what it said here at the end. It said, this man had great possessions. We could have reworded that and said, these possessions had this man. This man was held by these possessions. See, the problem is, he's thinking that's what he needs, those possessions. And he has to cling to those possessions more than he can cling to God. The possessions have him. He doesn't have the possessions. They're running him. Because he thinks he needs that, he can't let them go. If he knew about how the kingdom of God worked, he would have let those possessions go, and God would have given him double. Amen?
Amen.
God would have given him double. But because these possessions have him, he is controlled by them, and he only can think about them, and he thinks, if I don't have them, then I don't have anything, and yet he cannot choose to follow Jesus. Jesus has given him an invitation, follow me. He'll have eternal life. He'll have blessing. He'll have increase, but these possessions have him, so he cannot choose, or he does not choose, to follow Jesus. Okay? So we're starting to see that if we don't master money, then money is our master. Money will now possess us and control us and make us do what it wants to do. And we were never made to follow money. We were made to be masters of money. I am a money master.
Amen.
Say amen to that. Thank you. So get out a pen and paper. I got a few steps that you can write down to become a money master. And you want to take notes on this because you're going to want to apply this and put this into action in your life. So, how can we become a money master? The first thing, or to say it simply, is we have to switch the systems that we're using. We have this curse-based human economy, and we need to live in it according to heaven's economy. We have to live in this world. In this physical world, we have to live in it according to heaven's economy, following the spiritual laws of the kingdom of God that govern all increase. We have to follow those laws of increase. Now, Jesus came down and walked on the earth to restore us back to the Garden of Eden, to bring us back into that state. What was that state of the Garden of Eden? When we look at Adam, Adam was not out there having to toil. He wasn't having to work hard. He had assignments. There were things that God gave him to do. And he could just go about doing those. And everything that he needed was provided for him. All of his needs were provided in the Garden of Eden. So he could just follow and do the assignments that God gave him. So he was in a state of rest. He was in a state of peace. That's why Jesus came back down on the earth to walk here, to open the way for us to walk on this earth in the same way, to bring the Garden of Eden into your life. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. So, number one, if you want to become a money master, number one, see God as your source. See God as your source. God has to be the number one thing that you see providing for your needs in all way. If you see something else providing for your needs, husband, boss, doctor, neighbor, parents, if you see somebody else providing for your needs and you're not seeing God providing for your needs, then you will not be in that kingdom of God and receiving what you really need. Money will always master you. You've seen it in relationships where one person controls the money and they control the other person if that person doesn't have control over it. And now they make them do what they want to do. Now, this is interesting. In Genesis, when the Lord introduces himself to Abraham, he says, I am the Almighty God. I am Almighty God. This is how God introduces himself to Abraham. The Hebrew word for this Almighty God is El Shaddai. El Shaddai. And when you literally translate El Shaddai, it means the breasty one. God says, I am the breasty one. This is how he introduces himself to Abraham. Now, when a mother gives birth to a child, the milk that she needs to feed that child is already in her breasts. Everything that baby's going to need is already provided. It's already there. This is what God is saying when he announces to Abraham, I am the breasty one. He is saying, I'm going to provide all your needs. I have everything that you need. I'm going to provide that for you. I have it. It's here already. He is saying, I am the source. I am your source, Abraham. Okay? So this is what Abraham, this is how Abraham gets introduced to God. All right? He starts to see now how he is. So, in line with that, listen to some other verses here that I have. So he's saying, I'm the source. Now we see that also in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God has given us all things. In Philippians 4:19, it says, but my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. What did it say? All. It said all you need can be provided to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. That means when you receive Jesus, all the needs, all the provision is supplied for you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
See, we got to start to understand God is our source. God is our source. God is the breasty one. He is providing everything you need. You'll think about God in a different way after this sermon. But that's what he said. I'm just repeating what he said. And so he wants us to see him as being the provision for us. He wants us to see that he's going to provide for us. And this is so important that we see that. Now, this might be a shock to you, but your job shouldn't be your source. Your employer shouldn't be considered your source of provision. This should not be what's meeting your needs. Because in the kingdom, you are in the kingdom. And God is your need provider. Okay? And yeah, you should be getting a good wage from your employer. Okay? You should be getting a decent wage. But I'm telling you, your income should far exceed your salary. Write that down. Your income should far exceed your salary. Let that calculate a little bit. Let that sink in. That's big. That means that if you have God as your provider, he is going to be pouring into you greater provision, greater income than your job. If you're in the kingdom of God, you could be a housekeeper, you could be a janitor, you could be a busboy, and you could own a jet. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Why? Because no job or company can pay you enough to live like God has planned for you to live. Write that down. No job or company can pay you enough to live like God has planned you to live. That also means for some of you that no two jobs or three jobs can pay you to live the way God planned you to live. But God can provide for you according to his plan. He can give you far more. So it's not your job title, and it's not your job, and it's not your salary that's providing for you. It's God. God can provide for you in a greater way. In a greater way. Think about that. Open your mind to it. Open your eyes to this. This is an important message today. If you want to be a money master, if you want to master money, you need to understand God is your source. And that God is going to increase you beyond your salary. He is going to increase you beyond how much you're earning in your income. He is going to increase you beyond your cultural level. He's going to increase you. Say amen to this. He's going to increase you beyond all things when He is your source. Oh, that's big. Your income should far exceed your salary. Take that in. Receive that. Receive that. Number two, sow a seed for your need. Any need you have in your life, you need a car, you need a house, you need a healing, you need a partner, you need to pay the debts, the bills. Any need you have in the kingdom of God, you sow a seed. Sow a seed for your need. Kind of a nice little saying. Sow a seed for your need. In the kingdom of God, all increase comes from seed sowing. You want increase in your life? You want your salary, the income you have, to exceed what your salary is? Sow a seed into the kingdom of God. It's a law. It's a law or a covenant. And no amount of crying, fasting, or praying will change it. It requires your participation and your practice. Write this down. It requires your participation and your practice. You have to practice sowing the seed. You have to participate in it, sowing the seed, and knowing that your needs are going to be met. God made a covenant with Abraham. This was back in the book of Genesis. And through this covenant, God made Abraham very, very, very rich. The same covenant of sowing a seed when you have a need. Abraham was following that. That's what he did. He sowed a seed believing for his need to be met. And it was. Not only was, it was met incredibly well because he became very, very rich. Anytime we talk to God, anytime we talk to God about a need, He's going to talk to us about a seed. So if you start to pray to God and say, God, I need a job, God's going to start asking you, what are you going to sow? What are you going to sow in the kingdom of God? I remember there was this woman believing for a job, and she heard about a family, another family that she knew that fell on hard times. And so she had already sowed a seed believing for that job, but now when she hears about this family, she goes and makes some soup for them, some homemade soup, and she takes it over to them to feed them. She's, again, sowing a seed into where she sees a need. And as a result of that, she is also receiving that job. See, she's sowing that seed. See, this seed wasn't money in this case. It was soup. So God might tell you what kind of seed are you going to sow. Maybe you need to give away your old car to receive a new car. Maybe there's somebody who needs it. Maybe there's a single mother who's walking the kids to school or trying to get the kids to school and needs your car. And you're believing for a new car. And maybe God gives you the guidance. Give her your car. That's your seed sowing so that you can receive that new car. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out. But when you talk to God about needing something, He's going to talk to you about what kind of seed are you going to sow. You have to sow a seed in order to receive increase in the kingdom of God. Now, no economic crisis can break the power of this covenant to produce. It will not be broken. It cannot change. And it is a present tense covenant, meaning that it brings what God has provided you from out in the future. It brings it into the now.
Amen.
It brings it into the now. So whatever God has laid up for you out there in the future, when you sow the seed, it brings it into the present right now. It means that you can receive it and have it right now. It's a present tense covenant. That means Isaac, the son of Abraham, also had to sow seed. He couldn't just live on what Abraham had done. He had to believe and sow seed for the need that he had. Now, Isaac was in the land and there was a drought. And during that time, he thought, I'm going to go down to Egypt and they'll take care of me. They'll feed me. And God told him, no, don't go down to Egypt. Stay in this land where I've put you. I will bless you and I will increase you. So Isaac had a need. He needed food. So he sowed a seed. Now literally he sowed a seed because he sowed in a field that was in the middle of a famine or a drought. He sowed that seed, and when harvest time came, he reaped a hundredfold blessing. He received increase from that seed that he sowed. All right? So this is so he's sowing a seed in the present time to meet a need that he has, and it happens. And this is the thing. We just have to practice it. We have to use it. It's there for us. It only operates by practice, and it has guaranteed results. Guaranteed results. Underline that if you've written that down. It has guaranteed results. When you sow a seed for a need in the kingdom of God, it has guaranteed results. It just requires you to practice it. Practice it, and you will have it. Now, here's why it's guaranteed. In this verse, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "Well, the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." God is saying that it's guaranteed. Well, last time I looked this morning when I got up, the earth was still here. It said, "Well, the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest." It's guaranteed. It will be there. It will happen. So every seed you sow will have a harvest. You will see, receive increase from it. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Thinking, I hope you're stretching your mind here today. Stretch it. I am a money master.
Amen.
This is what we're doing to become a money master. Step three. So step two was sow a seed for your need. Step one was see God as your source. And step three, this is an important one. Keep your confession consistent with what you are believing for. Can't tell you how many times I've seen somebody sow a seed. You sow a seed believing that you're going to receive a house. I'm going to receive a house. And the next day you hear them talking. Man, there's no way we can get a house in this economy. The prices are going up too high. How can anybody afford a house in this neighborhood? I'm never going to get a house. What have you done? Yesterday you sowed a seed believing for a house. You said, "God, I'm believing you're going to give me a house." And you gave that seed to him, whatever he said to give. And the next day you're now saying, "There's no way I'm going to have a house. I can't." You have just canceled out. You have anything you have said, you have made it worthless by what you said the next day. This is the same as if a farmer goes out into his field and plants a field of corn one day, and then he comes out the second day and he looks and he sees nothing growing and he says, "This corn isn't going to grow." And he goes out there with a shovel and digs up all the corn that he planted yesterday. The harvest won't come if we dig it up the next day. We have to keep our words consistent. That means if you sow a seed believing for a house, or believing for your bills being paid, or believing for your health, you have to consistently be speaking the same thing in your life. This lady that was believing for a job, she made a list of the job, and then one day a friend came over. I love this story. A friend came over and says, "So, have you received that job that you're believing for?" She said, "Yes, I have received that job that I'm believing for." The person said, "Well, where is it?" "Oh, I don't know where it is, but I have received it." See, she's keeping her words consistent with the seed she sowed. She's staying consistent. If you start to say, "Well, there's no way I can get a job in this economy. They're telling me there's no jobs. There's 1,000 people looking for everyone. What chance do I have of getting that?" You have canceled out the seed you've sown. This is extremely important. It's not enough just to sow the seed. Because people are canceling it out with the negative words that are contrary to the harvest you desire. Sowing a seed in the kingdom of God is not all that's required. Your confession rules you. Write that down. Underline that. Highlight that. Circle it. Your confession rules you. What you're saying. And if you're saying there's no way you can get it, now God can't give it to you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So you can negate the harvest that God has already prepared for you. The word of your mouth released in faith must stay consistent with God's word that you've already spoken, that God, the word that God has spoken about that situation. Okay? Number four. Expect the supernatural. To see the supernatural, we must expect the supernatural. We must expect the supernatural. We have to have an image of what is going to happen when God brings this to pass. Liza was touching on this morning. We've got to have an image already in our mind of what's going to happen when God makes what I have sowed a seed for. When it comes to pass, because it's going to come to pass because I sowed the seed, and I'm guaranteed there's seed time and there's harvest, and it's the earth is still here, so that's going to happen. It's guaranteed. So when it comes to pass, I've got to be able to understand or see the supernatural increase. Do you have any idea of what supernatural increase looks like? Because I know I've already talked about that your salary should far exceed your, you know, your increase should exceed your salary, right? I've already talked about that. But you're probably wondering, well, how can I get, I'm going to have to get another job, Ted, to get that jet. I'm going to have to get a second. No, there's supernatural increase. You've got to expect supernatural increase. Heard a story yesterday about supernatural increase. It was a good one. You want me to share it?
Yeah.
All right. This young man, piano player, concert pianist, and he's just getting started, not having a lot of resources or income. He met an elderly lady one day at a party, and he kept in touch with her. Every once in a while, he'd drop her a postcard or a little letter, and he'd just tell her how things were going with his career, what was happening in his life, that he had got into this orchestra, or he was performing this concert, or he was learning this new piece. And he didn't do it a lot, just a few times he dropped it. And over the years, as it passed, he just wanted to let her know that he was doing okay. One day, he got a knock on his door. It was some men. This lady had passed away a year before, and they just found him. And she had left him, in her will, $500,000. He was not related to the lady. He didn't know her other than just a brief encounter with her at this party. But because he was sharing his life with her, he found favor in her. I believe God was opening the way to bring supernatural increase, $500,000, into his life. Suddenly, he no longer had to be toiling for money and taking gigs and different things and struggling. Now he could really focus on his talent and where he was going to use this talent and where God was going to guide him to use this talent. It had come in a supernatural way. Expect supernatural, the supernatural. To see the supernatural, you must expect the supernatural in your life. Can you see it?
Yes.
Some people can't see it. Can you see it? Look for it. Imagine it. Know that God can do great things far above anything you can imagine. Many people who give and sow, they don't have a vision of this. They have no image of expecting something in return. I think some people, even religion, has taught them that it's okay to give something, but it's selfish to expect a return. But this is the way the kingdom of God works. You sow a seed, you receive a harvest. You give, God increases it, and he gives even more to you. This is biblical. It's when you give and sow in faith, it's operating biblically. Say amen to that.
Amen.
It's operating biblically. We are breaking natural laws of time, and we cause our harvest to come from the future into the now. I've already said that, but that's important to know. Now, you might remember this story about this in the Bible. Jesus was standing in the treasury, and there were all these people giving their donations into the treasury. They're sowing seed. Okay, that's what that means. They're So they're giving this, and along comes this widow, and she drops in two mites. It's all the money that she has. It's everything that she's got, and she is sowing it. And Jesus says, "Assuredly, I say to you," he's talking to his disciples, "that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Now, remember back then, there's no welfare system to support this widow. She can't get a job because she's a widow. So there's no income going to be coming in from some sort of work, you know, or job. He's saying this is incredible and so amazing, I believe, because the others were just putting in. They had a whole bunch of extra. They could put in. They weren't worried about where they were going to get their food tomorrow because they had more in the bank. They had more in their pocket. But this lady is sowing a seed into the kingdom of God, expecting supernatural increase. This is her blessing and her way out of poverty. She is putting it in God's hands and saying, "God, I know I've sowed this seed and I am believing for an incredible return, a hundredfold blessing. I'm receiving that." This is why Jesus is saying this is so amazing, I believe, because she had this faith to believe in God's increase in her life. Expecting to receive something in return for God, it's the way to give. You know, it is only when you give that God can begin to release his wealth back to you to meet your needs and to finance his work. Say amen to that. So these are our 4 points. You need to take these out into the world and now act on them. They're not going to do anything good in your book or in your iPhone where you've written them. They're not going to help or change your life. There's some points that I made today that are going to stretch your mind beyond where it was before. That's good. That's what God is all about, opening our eyes to his plan. God has put an incredible plan before you, and your job cannot finance that plan. God finances that plan. God brings the supernatural increase into your life. God changes your life and can bring in greater provision. Overnight, God can make you a millionaire. Say amen to that. And he can do it in a way you never thought of. This guy with the playing the piano never knew this lady was going to send him a bunch of money. And suddenly overnight, there it was. Never knew it. God can do that from multiple sources. You can have millions of dollars pouring in from several different sources all overnight, and it can happen immediately. And maybe your job title is called busboy, or house cleaner, or janitor. But that's how God works when we see him as our source. And when we put these steps into action, it's guaranteed the increase will come, and it can happen overnight. Amen. Say amen to that.
Amen.